this hour on Wib and Wib.com. I lengthened the open so he could arrive in studio. Our good friend for many, many years, Mark Hall, with the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, who is more of a globetrotter these days than ever. Great to see you.
That's good to be seen in these parts.
Yeah, yeah. And various travels. I know Asia, Africa, many countries.
Yeah, we've had a chance to minister in person in about a half a dozen countries in the last 6-7 weeks. But on the phone, when you start to deal internationally, you have a lot of 5 a.m. conference calls when you're dealing with time zones of 7-8 hours, sometimes 12 or 14 hours, as we work with our partners across the world.
Hmm. Well, I'm so excited for you, and I want to talk the bulk of the hour about that, about what's going on in terms of 3D coaching and taking that message, I presume, all over the planet. And so I want to hear those stories and interact with folks. But also, I know close to home here in the state, and even here in the Chippewa Valley, we just started running, I think, the promotions for some of the things going on this summer. And the work carries on here, too, right?
It really does. In fact, it carries on better than it ever has. God has been gracious to us with some great staff people, with Nick Stoll and Andrew Draper, who are doing a stellar job locally of expanding the ministry. I couldn't be more pleased with what I'm seeing happening locally, which releases me to go a little farther than that. When you're smart enough, just smart enough to hire people who are better than you are at things and let them do it, it's amazing what gets done. And that's exactly what's happening.
Well, reproducing, right? I mean, that's multiplying yourself is a key part of...
Yeah, I mean, that would be a kind way to take some credit for what I have no credit for. But the process of ministry over a length of time, when you have someone like Andrew who was a kid coming through as a high schooler involved, and then God really got a hold of his life through all of that, and then as a college student being a huddle leader, then engaged as a teacher for a couple of years, leading huddles, connecting with the campuses, and then coming on staff. When there's time for that progression, you get somebody who really knows the effect of the ministry personally and then can reproduce in better ways than I ever could.
Well, it's exciting. I think we saw both of them in here for our shooting in our March Mayhem Hope and Hoops. You'll have to ask them how they fared with that. It may not have been quite as effective as with the ministry, but
I didn't see they were 5 for 5. I saw the list, and their names didn't show up. They didn't tell me anything either about that.
Well,
so.
we missed you. We'll have to get you next year. Mark Hull from the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. And they've been doing for the last couple of years this area camp for kids. And then also, obviously, over the years, many times we've talked about the various summer camps available for kids too, right?
Correct. And the local junior sports camp we started a few years ago, that's going incredibly well. And the feedback from it has been great. When we look at sport and see what we feel is wrong about it or could be better, and then have to then make it look like something with those local camps to put joy and wonder back into the process, where it's life-giving and affirming, and then connecting that to young kids' faith, or at least starting to do that. As a parent, the parent feedback has been stellar from that. I've been grateful for what I'm seeing in that as an addition to what we're doing.
Well, Mark Hull, you always have been a great guy to talk to about youth sports involvement. You're not afraid to share your opinions and your insights on that. And so if people have questions, there's so many different, if they talk about the relationship between parents and coaches at all levels is always a fascinating topic. And it seems like what I'm hearing, those high school coaches, especially in a variety of sports, under an incredible amount of pressure in terms of dealing with parents who have invested so much time, energy, effort, travel into their kids, and a lot of demandingness, it seems, and the pressure there's... not a lot of give there in that relationship.
You used a key word in that little statement,
yes.
And you used the word investment. When we view our money and our time that we put into our youth sports as an investment, investments by definition demand a return. And now I have to look at my kids and their sport journey and the coaches as part of the return on investment, the ROI. It's supposed to be a sacrifice. It's what you and I do for our children as part of the sacrifice of parents to give them a good experience in growing up. we view things sacrificially entirely differently than we view them as an investment. And when we look at the amount of money we're dumping into sports, especially youth sports.
And time,
both of those limited resources, then I better get a return on that investment. And the coaches, especially as you get up to higher levels, when they're not playing my kid or when they're not playing in the right position or getting enough balls or whatever it is, then they're an obstacle in the way of the investment that I've made. And now I see them in a way that is entirely different than if I saw this as just the reasonable sacrifice we make as parents along the way. And in fact, if I saw it as a reasonable sacrifice, I would see how unreasonable some of the things I'm doing are. And they've moved from sacrifice to investment. And we've got to take the thought process of investing in our youth and youth sports out of it instead of giving to or making these normal sacrifices that we do as parents as when we have children to raise them well.
I grew up in the 70s largely. I used to think that parents took youth sports seriously. It seems like it's only gotten... you're smiling. It's only gotten more serious, hasn't it? More intense.
Oh, my goodness. In the 70s, when what we did was the biggest investment was paying the league fee to pay Babe Ruth baseball and then disappear for the T-shirt. You know, it's so much more now. I'm not saying what we did then was right and what we're doing now is wrong, but I would have liked to have had more when I came through. It's five matches in junior high, five wrestling matches against some, I could have used a whole lot more. Now you get five in a day as a five-year-old, we're not recovering from that. And so we've got to look at that and say, why are we doing what we are doing? Why is it such a critical question? Purpose questions are so critical that we're forgetting to ask.
And let's just take one of the sports, basketball, where girls, boys starting very young, because the idea is the younger you start, we got to be younger if we're going to beat that town. We want to get on the map. We want to get to TV in Madison or Green Bay. And yet I'm hearing some stories, not all across the board, but some stories of burnout, some stories of, girls go, I've played enough.
Well, I think as we look at that when we do something wrong, there's always consequences to that. And sometimes they're not big, but over time they show up. I think our youth sport is so wrong in this rush to more and more earlier and earlier. I think of Dr. Richard Swenson in the book Margin. Margin is a space between our load and our limits. And this rush to doing more and more earlier and earlier, he called profusion. That's fine if that's what we need is more and more earlier and earlier. But if it's not, we have problems, and we have problems with the human limits. The problem is this: I don't see it correcting itself yet, though it has to at some point in time. And if it's going to break down at some point in time, then correction either comes by wisdom or crisis. I wish we'd correct by wisdom, but I've got a feeling we're going to have more and more crises that'll force us to have this, what is called the eruption of the real that we finally have to deal with.
Well, we talked about some of your world travels, Asia, Africa. I'd like to ask you when we come back from a break, kind of what similarities and differences you see in terms of youth sports, parent, coach, player relationship here versus there. And more with Mark Hull, FCA, in-house for the hour, front page, WWIB and web.com.
Looking for a shipping company that can handle anything you have to ship? Choose Pac-Mail. They'll pack it, ship it, crate it, and freight it. Pac-Mail in the Hamilton Square, Eau Claire.
The kicks just keep coming at Mega Holiday. We're talking four new flavors of Kickstart by Mountain Dew. There's Midnight Grape, Watermelon, or how about Blood Orange, or Blueberry Pomegranate. Mix and match any of your favorite Kickstarts for only 99 cents. So kick it into high gear and head to Mega Holiday for Kickstart. Grab an old favorite, or try a new one like Midnight Grape, Watermelon, Blood Orange, or Blueberry Pomegranate. Because any Kickstart is only 99 cents, only for a limited time, and only at Mega Holiday.
Hello, this is Greg Stewart. WWIB has just opened up a rare full-time position. We are looking for a seasoned morning announcer with a passion for gathering and delivering news and promoting community affairs. Opportunities to carry a continuing talk show position as well as announcing play-by-play sports. You'll work with state-of-the-art equipment. A bachelor's degree or equivalent is required, along with previous radio experience. Social media and blogging are a plus. Enjoy working with a team of professionals. Mail or email your cover letter and resume to me, Greg Stewart, Program Director, WWIB WOGO Radio, 2396 Halley Road, Suite 1, Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin, 54729. Or email gstewart@wwib.com. WWIB WOGO is an equal opportunity employer.
Parents, Fellowship of Christian Athletes Junior Sports Camps are back this June for building skills, fun, and commitment to Jesus. Boys and girls entering 2nd through 7th grade can work on basketball, football, or soccer. The Chippewa Valley Camp will be June 13th and 14th at an Eau Claire Area Middle School. The Menominee Camp will be June 16th and 17th at Menominee High School. Local coaches and athletes will teach campers to glorify God through athletics. To register, go to wisconsinfca.org.
Front Page, WWIB, you help make Front Page possible with your generous tax-deductible support of WWIB Incorporated. During April, our gift offers include Ren Collective, As Family We Go, and Purple Fish, A Heart for Sharing Jesus, from Hayward Pastor Mark Wilson. Learn more about these gifts online at WWIB.com. Both of them yours for suggested tax-deductible gift of $40 or more to WIB Incorporated during the month of April, which is winding down already, April 22nd, Earth Day. Mark Hull is our guest from Fellowship of Christian Athletes. So I know you had a trip to South Africa last year, right?
Last year. I just got back last week.
Okay.
Africa and to Zambia.
So, and then you told me some of these other countries in terms of Asia, India, Sri Lanka, Thailand, and
Philippines.
The Philippines. Yep. So I'm just curious, was the call coming from the world, or were you knocking on the door, or did they hear about some of the 3D coaching and say, come and talk to us, or how did that work?
We started to do training as this model started to take on momentum, this framework nationally. We did leadership training with it. We had our international director, Dan Britton, was bringing internationals to the training. It was a little uncomfortable because we had no thought process of international impact when we put this together. It was just dealing with what we saw in sport and what could be a more excellent way, a more beautiful way.
Why don't you explain what 3D coaching is?
3D coaching is just simply a framework with a foundation. The framework, if you could visualize a triangle, is the bottom of the triangle is the fundamentals, the physical, the strength, speed, power, tactics, technique, skills, strategy, quickness. Those things that are unique to each sport, and you better be good at them. Those define each sport. They're unique and defined. And what we found is that 75 to 85% of coaches, we call that level one, are level one coaches only. Doesn't mean they're not concerned about these other things, but we define your coaching by the strategies you implement. And if you looked at all the strategies, all the their practice for a day, a week, a season, everything would fall at that. And about 75 to 85% of coaches are level one coaches only. Level two, the mind and psychology, to simplify, we put that together along with some of the social. So things like emotions, confidence, motivation, team cohesion, focus, goal setting, imagery, those kinds of things fall at that level. And coaches are concerned about them, but only about 15 to 20% of coaches actually have strategies to do that. And that's level two. And then level three, we call the heart or the spirit. And working with public schools and others to demystify all of that, what we say is the role of the spirit in the life of the person is to choose what you will value and ascribe worth. That's the role that the spirit plays in the life of a human being. The mind takes the information in. Can I get the right answer on the test? The spirit says, will I value that right answer enough to work it out in my life? I know we can all say on a test, is telling the truth right or wrong? Right. Great. You got the right answer. Now, will I actually tell the truth when it's going to cost me something? That's a spiritual value question. And if value is a level, the things we find at the level of the spirit are things like value, worth, identity, character, significance, purpose. Those come out of our spirit. And if value is a level three function, then what does the sports world value most? And it's clear, winning.
They sure do.
It's very clear.
That's right.
And that means winning sits, if you value it most, it sits at the top. And in the end, everything has to bow down to that if it's the most valuable. So, therefore, sport is affecting the value, the spirit of every person engaged in it. it's affecting that. And what we found is that it is affecting it at least positively in performance character and negatively in moral character. Performance character are things like dedication, sacrifice, teamwork, perseverance, those kinds of things. And sport builds those. But when you can measure things like honesty, justice, responsibility, I put kindness and love, the environment of sport erodes those. Now, it's a great environment to build them, but sport won't do it. Only a coach can do that. And we put before the coach the possibility of coaching the spirit in the life of an athlete. So coaching all three dimensions. And by definition, if you do not develop all three dimensions in your life, and this is true for us outside of sport as well, to the extent that you neglect any one of those dimensions is to the extent that you cannot be the best you can be. By definition, to neglect one aspect of your being is by definition not be the best you can be. So, coach, do you want your athletes to be the best they can be? Do you want to be the best you can be? Then you cannot neglect these. You have to have strategies to coach them. Then what we say is that's the framework, but the framework has to sit on a foundation. And the foundation is your why. It's your purpose. We call it a transformational purpose for your coaching. We've talked about Joe Erman here before in the past. Joe's coaching purpose statement clearly made is this: to help boys become men of empathy and integrity who will lead, be responsible, and change this world for good. That is my purpose statement for coaching. Everything filters through that. Now, we help coaches to identify over a journey of time their why for coaching in a transformational way, and then say, once you have that foundation, now build the framework on that foundation. The framework of level one coaching, coach it well, the mind and the spirit as well. And we can help you to develop strategies to do that. And that's the basic kind of framework and foundation of three-dimensional coaching. And because I think there's enough brokenness in sport all over the world as people look at it, and there's stuff they like, but in some ways it's like terrible or profane comedy. You know, we laugh at it, but we know there's something wrong with it. And we look at sport and go, well, that's really great, but how good is it? And that's going on, we're finding, all across the world.
Hmm.
And because that is, there is the opening for us to say, we can help to rethink and reform, or Jesus' words are repent and believe. Repent is just simply to rethink the reality in light of what you now believe is most important. And now develop a plan. To believe is to develop a plan with an accountable implementation. Because until we implement, we really don't believe something. At least from a spiritual sense. We believe it from a head or a second dimension, but not a full sense until it looks like something. So we help coaches to repent and believe. Or in an academic sense, we say to rethink and reform.
Interesting. Mark Hull from the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. I got a website up here. It says the number 3dimensionalcoaching.com.
Yes.
Is that okay?
And then the faith-based one is at fcacoachesacademy.com. We have a faith-based and a values-based. Mm-hmm. I don't say academic and faith-based because the faith-based is academic. It just has the additional direct faith application to it.
Mm-hmm. What a different, I mean, I think about the many years I've been here with WWIB, and we've been such a great partnership with FCA, obviously, over the years, and to see this transformation in terms of FCA, in terms of this involvement now from what you used to focus on.
It is a difference. In fact, we've rethought all of that ourselves, and about 8 to 10 years ago, we came to the slogan that our ministry is to and through the coach. That was new within 8 to 10 years, but we recognize
as opposed to the player.
As opposed to the player. Yeah, the name, Fellowship of Christian Athletes, mm-hmm. even. Mm-hmm. But we recognized if we're going to have an impact on the athletes and we're going to have an impact on the culture of sport, the person with the most influence and power in that environment is the coach.
Sure.
Billy Graham has been quoted as saying, and I don't know if he actually said it or not, but it's been said enough times that I'll call
it's
it true.
It's kind of like Einstein and Mother Teresa get a lot of credit.
That's right. But he said that one coach will impact more people in a year than the average person does in a lifetime.
Hmm.
And I believe that that's true when you really talk about impact, because sport is so emotional that that's where impact is felt. Is when actions and emotion are connected, that's where real impact is felt. And sport is emotional.
Hey, you go to FCA.org, you see right there, you got a 3.5-minute video up on this, coaches, and it says the coach is one of the most influential individuals in our society. And so what have been some of the reactions that you've gotten as you've brought this out to people? Obviously, if you get just a little bit of time to make the case, if you're a coach of anything from track and field to football, basketball to hockey, if they can just give you their ear for a couple of minutes, I mean, what coach would want to just say, nah, I think I'm just going to settle for the fundamentals? I mean, at least you've got their ear, right? And it's not like you're saying, hey, could I talk to you about, you know, four spiritual laws, nothing against that, but I mean, it's not like they're on their guard about that.
What we tell coaches is we want to invest in what you are already invested in, your team. We're not here to ask you, we're not here saying, look, there's a lot of people besides God who have a wonderful plan for your life, and we're one of those people, so right. we've had your quiet time for you. And join us in what we're doing. We're done with that. We're saying we want to join you in what you're doing. We want to invest in what you're invested in, your team. Let us help do that.
What are some of the reactions you've seen?
Well, I think we are on the edge of this thing just exploding. It's already all across the country. We're doing hundreds of professional development workshops a year right now, where we go in to a school and have all of their coaches there for a two-hour workshop. All of their coaches there.
Wow.
It's a public school version. But the beauty is this, is when you engage them where they have need in the common, it always leads to conversations of the holy.
Mm-hmm.
It always does, especially when we're talking about things like value, worth, identity, character, and significance. Because we remind the coach that you cannot be or you dare not be a tour guide to land you haven't been to. This is your journey to take first.
Yeah.
If you're going to deal with the value and worth in the arena of sport of athletes, you're going to have to come to grips with your own value and worth. And those are spiritual questions. Now we have the platform to have a conversation that they want to have, not that we want to have. And we're finding that happening all over. And then we engage them in our online journey, because transformation does not happen at a workshop. The best you get, and we tell folks, I don't care whether my workshop's 15 minutes long or 6 hours long, it still has a singular purpose. And the purpose is to create a compelling reason why you need to take this journey.
Mm.
That's the purpose of a workshop, because workshops don't change trajectory. A journey does.
Mm. You mentioned Joe Ehrman earlier. I think one time he did join us by phone, if memory serves me right. It'd been a few years, but he has some terrific books. Season of Life is the Jeffrey Marks book that tells a season, the football season in 2001, and that's a great place to start.
That's a great place to start. That kind of opens this kind of picture to the possibility of coaching transformationally, of having a purpose behind it. And then he wrote his own book, Inside Out Coaching, with his wife Paula. That's a Dollar, just a great book on taking this journey yourself and creating strategies to coach in a way that's transformational. I got a chance to work with him, and we created a study guide. In fact, I was just in touch with him a couple days ago, because our partners in the Ukraine want to translate his Inside Out Coaching book to put it in connection with our three-dimensional coaching. And in fact, we have an graduate class. You can take an online 3-credit graduate class in three-dimensional coaching. And part of that class is Joe's book. We go through our three-dimensional coaching framework and strategies, and then engage them in Joe's book as well to help them rethink their coaching.
This is a guy, if people can remember, I remember the Baltimore Colts before they were the Indianapolis Colts, and he played for them, and he was a defensive lineman, defensive end maybe. And anyhow, it's quite a story for himself personally, but his involvement with this has been really exciting and powerful as well, hasn't it?
It certainly has. He has helped us to rethink and shape some things as he was on this journey even before we were. Very, very kind. When he talks about empathy and integrity as core values, when you're with him, you have the sense that he really means that.
So is he still involved as a high school football coach?
He's not coaching anymore because of this. He's working some with Minnesota's high school athletic league to create some movement with some things, and he's still speaking and creating sport for social change is what he's looking at.
Interesting. But even from the book Season of Life, and probably the idea of having a coach say, what's our job as coaches? And the players say, to love us. And the players, and I think then it's, what's your job? To love each other.
Correct.
I mean, you think about the machismo that goes into, high school football coaches and players, and even that language is kind of unique, isn't it?
It is, but it's powerful language when you think about the power that is behind love. If you define love as something that is patient, that is not self-centered, that always trusts, always hopes, always protects, always perseveres, that doesn't sound easy. In fact, that sounds really tough. And when they do that, they redefine it for the athletes, because you need to have a common definition, and then you demonstrate it, and they demonstrate it with them, and they help boys become men. If that's why they say those things, because his purpose statement says, that's why I coach, to help boys become men. And I'm redefining masculinity as the ability to love and be loved and to give yourself to a cause greater than yourself. That's how you know you've gone from being a boy to a man, is when you learn how to love. And I think that's what the Apostle Paul said. When I was a child, I thought, spoke, and reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put away childish things. He wrote that right after he wrote the definition about love. And I'm convinced Paul said, I became a man when I learned how to love.
And similarly for girls in sports?
Absolutely the same thing. Because masculinity and femininity in that way is defined exactly the same. How does a girl know when they become a woman? When they've learned how to love and give themselves to a cause greater than themselves. It's the same thing. Now, culturally, we have some issues of cultural masculinity, cultural femininity. That's all part of it. But the reality, biblically, is manhood and womanhood are defined the same way in that way.
Probably on most high school teams, I don't know that the coach says, what's my job? But if he did, to coach us up so we can win. And what's your job? To play well so we can win, right? Wouldn't you probably boil it down?
That would... I would. And I would say this, is that here's the thing about love. Love can allow winning to be important. It just will not allow winning to be ultimate. I think all moral attributes, winning can have a place of importance with all moral attributes. It just cannot be preeminent, because love, kindness, mercy, justice, honesty will not let winning do whatever it can to function.
And this isn't just for high school. I mean, this is for college, the pros. Have you had any platforms or opportunities to share this?
With the college, not so much with the pros, and fascinatingly so. There's some great pro coaches. But the environment of pro sport is, technically, it's not sport. It's business entertainment is what it is. Sport finds its home in the circle of play. When you look at most of pro sport, it does not find its home in a circle of play. Some do. Some people still have that playfulness with it. But it is business entertainment. Mm-hmm. And even there, though, just like running a radio station, running other businesses, there are still issues of moral reality that God doesn't let us get away with.
Yeah. Got another 25 minutes with Mark Hall. I want to hear whatever stories he's got from Asia and Africa. That would be interesting. Also, any and all coaches, if you want to call, or parents, youth sport questions for Mark Hall from the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. And he's got some opinion when it comes to sports that I hope we'll have some time to hear as well. It's Front Page, WWIB. Your questions and comments welcome at 723-2555 at Eau Claire and Chippewa Falls, 1-800-657-4769. You can email mark@wib.com.
Save on protection for your home with an 11% rebate on residential steel roofing from Menards. It can be installed over existing shingles, saving you money on disposal fees and installation time. Plus, Menards Residential Steel Roofing helps cut energy bills and is hail, wind, and fire resistant. Choose from 31 colors in two styles. And right now, get an 11% rebate on everything at Menards. Good through April 23rd. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
Here comes Karen again from Festival Foods to share with us how you can really stretch a dollar this week.
Well, yeah, the always popular Dollar Days is back. So it's a shopping frenzy in this store, because we have lots of your favorite items marked at the super low price of just a dollar. You'll find values throughout the store so you can stock up, Check the ads in the newspaper, go to festfoods.com, and you'll bring in your dollars and save some money.
And Festival is always trying to make a difference by being good stewards of the environment.
Yeah, we really do. So we pay attention to finding ways to help protect the earth every day, from our sustainable practices in the seafood department to our list of green living options. Yvette continues to grow in our natural and organics department. We reuse and recycle as much as possible. It's all part of being a vital part of our community.
Sales begin each Sunday in Eau Claire and La Crosse and on Thursdays in Marshfield. And stay in touch at festfoods.com/insider. Festival
Foods. Hi, Pat Couture here from the Purpose Driven Retirement Show and Keystone Financial. You will hear about financial topics that are sure to answer some of your questions about retirement planning. Join me as we discuss the many retirement misconceptions out there and why they can be so costly. The Purpose Driven Retirement Show airs Wednesday at 7:30 and Saturdays at 5:30 p.m. right here on WWIB 103.7.
All right, it's Front Page, WWIB. Mark Hall is our guest for the full hour from the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. Glad that he's stateside. He's done so much traveling lately, Africa and Asia. And take us on the journey here a little bit, Mark.
Well, the last place I was at, fascinating for me, was in South Africa and then back to Zambia. But in South Africa, we had an African leadership summit of sports ministry leaders throughout Southern Africa. We had 39 people from 29 agencies and 19 countries. We met at ranch. So the meeting area was, in essence, up on poles with open sides and a thatch roof. And right outside of where we're meeting took a...
Sounds like an African school.
But this was a nice... outside of where we were meeting were four giraffes I took a picture of and then some sable and all of that. So fascinating place. But these are really sharp sports leaders that were doing so much with so little.
Now, we think soccer. I mean, sport, all soccer coaches?
It's a lot of soccer, football there, but other sports as well. But most of it, because of the countries they're in, are what we would say through sport. They're not a ministry in sport. They use sport to connect with kids and others to share the gospel. Hmm. And the big issue that they're dealing with, and I'm sure you saw this where you are too, is the issue of fatherlessness. Mm. And it's a fundamental issue that they're dealing with and using sport to connect with kids and then connect them in issues of at least modeling for the boys and for the girls what an engaged father that cares and that they have a heavenly father that cares. It's a fascinating thing. But I'll never forget... The Richard, who was from Uganda, did our opening devotion, and he said this. He said, Africa is strong in leadership and in community. So we are strong in leadership. We have kings. We've developed this kind of structure of leadership, and we are strong in community. We have tribes. He said, but Satan attacks these strengths in ways that undermine, and so our strong leadership in kings sees issues of corruption everywhere. Mm-hmm. Our strong communities of tribes see tribal warfare. Mm. Where we are strong is where we are attacked. That was a fascinating insight that he had. And from there, saying, let's identify and build on those, but let's also understand where Satan attacks. And then he said something else that I'm sure you've seen as well, and I saw all over the place. He said, if you want to experience God, come to Africa. Africans pray. Said, you have a headache, we pray. Our problem is we can pray with no passion to work. Mm. That's our strength is being attacked in say even there. We will pray. He said, you pray that God will cut your grass, you'll be living in a forest. Mm-hmm. But we'll pray. And that's really true. There I had this sense of my inadequacies there in ways I've never had. But the beauty of connecting with them in sport. And then we went up to Zambia. This is the second trip there.
Which our friends Greg and Kathy Smith have been to on more than one occasion.
But I connected the first time. I did a three-dimensional coaches training with an with what they call a level two leadership school. Those are the International Sports Coalition does these trainings, month-long trainings for emerging sports leaders all over the world. They do these trainings.
Who does?
The International Sports Coalition.
Okay, never heard of them.
That's right. They're the most amazing organization you've never heard of, put together by a man you've never heard of who's had a bigger impact in ministry around the world than anyone I've ever known.
Wow.
Eddie Waxer's his name. He would probably be upset that I even gave you his name.
Huh.
But he helped start AIA and name it. He was Bill Bright's assistant.
Wow.
He's done more things around the world than anybody you'll ever know. And he learned that you've got to step away from the media attention if you want to have great impact.
Huh.
And so he's stepped away from it as much as possible, but raises millions of dollars to train sports ministry all over the world.
The website is worldsportministries.com, it looks like.
Yeah, well, it may be. Actually, their content is ready, set, go. It's powerful stuff. But I went up, did a training, and one guy was connected to the Zambian Soccer Association. His name is Eleman Sakala. He saw the power of the potential of connecting with coaches there with 3D coaching. And he wanted me, in fact, the Zambian Soccer Association, that first trip, asked if we would train all their coaches.
Wow.
And my answer was not yet, because I can do a workshop and I can feel good about doing a workshop, but workshop isn't training. Workshop, again, the purpose of the workshop is for you to
exposure.
So you would enter into our training, our online training. Well, we need to, until we have all three things in place, I tell them, we need to have the workshop, the journey, and the delivery system. How are we going to take people through this? So we've been working on this. My last trip there, a couple weeks ago, I was able to do a workshop for the 11 or 12 of the top soccer coaches, football coaches in the country, along with the technical director and education director of the Zambian Soccer Association.
Wow.
All of the women's national team coaches and others, and we had a delightful time of engaging them. And we are in process of creating the journey and the delivery system for
great.
Them. And it's fascinating, even in those places. When I did the training in India, we have this one slide when we talk about the change in the 21st century athlete as opposed to the 20th century athlete.
What's the difference?
The difference is done in a picture. It's the face of somebody with all kinds of icons of Pinterest and WhatsApp and Facebook and you name it. All the things that are accessible, just putting them all around their face. And I told them, I don't know what the face of an Indian athlete looks like, but this is the American.
Yeah.
So I tell you. So I have this picture, and one of the coaches there said, at least in America, you can see his eyes. He said, in their country, they're even having a bigger problem. What we're finding is universally, technology has allowed us to substitute contacts for meaningful connections. And yet human beings are designed for meaningful connections.
Amen.
And that's where the coach can come in. Yeah, that's the kid today. So distracted in so many ways, but still at the heart is a desire to be meaningfully connected. So there are universal things that we're seeing within the culture, and technology is one of them that is shaping every culture.
You mentioned Richard Swenson earlier, and he just can never get away from some of the things that he said. Regarding those subjects years ago that are just so true. I know he spoke at various FCA events along the way.
Yeah, he's been also along the way. When I look at the convergence of all that I've had a chance over a long period of time to be exposed to and learn and read, Dr. Swenson is part of this journey. We refer to him even in our three-dimensional coaching at times, especially when I have a chance to do that. And talking about margin and profusion and the nature of what happens with overload and breakdown.
So just to understand, so when you're in India and they're talking about, you say the American athlete, we can picture that. And one of my daughters last night was talking about 21st century. And so that's defining themselves, the youth of today, in that way with the people of yesterday. But so they have so much social media in even a place like India
oh my goodness, everybody's got a cell phone.
Yeah.
Everybody has a cell phone.
Right.
And in some way, they're trying to be connected. Now, that's there is a upper level of competitive sport in all countries. It's in the poorer countries, it's a much thinner level. And three-dimensional coaching is designed coming out of the American thought process of what I call a power and performance model of sport, as opposed to a participation and pleasure model. That once we enter into clubs and school systems, we are now in the power and performance model. That this every country has that, but some countries have a thin layer of that as opposed to a much deeper level of pleasure and performance that you see when you go over and you go see this dirt field and a makeshift ball and kids playing. Mm-hmm. That's a pleasure and participation model. But there are also clubs where those kids are in. And now it starts moving competitively. That's where coaching comes in, and that's where we want to train their coaches, to coach the whole kid in that competitive model.
Hmm. Sri Lanka, the Philippines, Thailand.
Thailand and India. Those, and then, right. Of course, it was sometimes hard. Like in Sri Lanka, I had two languages that it had to be interpreted in. So you get up and you share a section, and then somebody interprets it in Sinhalese, and interprets it in Tamil. Yeah. In fact, then I've got words that I put up, and they've got to write on the thing, on the words, what is their word for love? What is their word for kindness? What is their word for perseverance? And we write it on there. Mm-hmm. I've still got those with the writing on it because it looks so cool.
Yeah.
But that's some of the barriers.
But they're incredibly hungry to learn, I bet.
They are, and they're grateful for that. The problem is we've got to create the journey. We've got to take what we've done. In fact, our videos have already been translated in Ukrainian. So a guy sent me the other day, it wasn't actually me speaking in Ukrainian, but it was a voiceover of what we've done in Ukrainian language. And that's what we're looking at, is what languages do we need to translate this in, and how can we do that? And that's the process we're engaged in right now, because I really believe, and our guys in Europe, I'm going to be in Germany next month, and this is a pivotal workshop that we're doing, and 3-4 day training to see about ownership of Europe and Eastern Europe, a post-Christian culture where our people over there say, this is our entry into the sports culture. This will get us an audience across the board, and we might be able to change the culture with this if we can own it ourselves.
Hmm. Wow. Amazing stuff with Mark Hull from the Fellowship of Christian Athletes talking about 3D coaching, the fundamentals, the psychology, in terms of the mind and the spirit, and then the heart ultimately. If you're a coach, you have youth sports questions, we're going to do some quick hitters with Mark in the final 10 minutes and just get his opinion on a variety of subjects. But certainly your thoughts, comments, and questions welcome right now. 723-2555, 1-800-657-4769, WWIB.
You can get your IRA or 401k delivered to your home in the form of physical gold and silver coins. Augusta Precious Metals is the leader in home delivery gold IRAs. You get free shipping, free insurance, and no professional management fees. Call 855-858-5807 now for your free guide to Augusta Home Delivery Gold IRAs. Call Augusta Precious Metals at 855-858-5807. That's 855-858-5807. Trust Augusta.
Blood, sweat, tears, guts, tenacity, and grit. That's what it takes to be a small business owner today. It's what gets you through the endless hours, missed calls, and countless resumes. That's where Monster can help. We design custom hiring solutions specifically suited to your small business to find rock-solid candidates. Because at Monster, we've got our own fair share of fortitude and fearlessness. Visit monster.com/hiring to find employees who work as hard as you and get 25% off for a limited time. Monster. Find better.
Listen throughout the day for the Small Business Moment, brought to you by Citizens State Bank of Cadott and Chippewa Falls, highlighting smart ideas about running your small business more efficiently.
Final segment with Mark Hull from the Fellowship of Christian Athletes here. His visits to many foreign countries, bringing this 3D coaching message, and we'd appreciate your prayers as he'll be off to Germany soon. Hey, Marco, your authorized canon, H.B. Konica Minolta dealer. Marco, let's talk about this country here, though. Before we say that, I said earlier we were going to talk about compare and contrast America and youth sports to what you see in the foreign countries? I don't know, because you're not there real long, but what do you see in terms of the youth, the parent, coach, youth, athlete involvement in other countries in comparison to here?
Well, one of the things is that we may be the only country, about the only country, where our sports have been connected to the educational institutions. Sport is club-based, not school-based, all over there. And what you find is in the best places, the clubs hold off competition until 11 and 12 years of age. Clubs train and engage kids, but they don't compete until 11 or 12 because they recognize that competition is an enemy of skill development, and they want kids to develop skills before they compete.
All right, we've got 8 minutes. Let's just do some quick hitters, some short answers on this, Mark Hull, because you're fascinating to me. You said just some problems in terms of, I asked you if this is taking 3D coaching to the collegiate or pro level. You said starting in the collegiate at least, but there's problems, there's challenges. What's going on the college level with coaches?
Well, the problem is the amount of money that's engaged in it that has pushed, in essence, a professional model down on the colleges, a college model down on the high schools, and a high school model down on the kids. We keep taking...
When they've got 12-year-olds who are ranked in terms of...
It's absurd. I mean, it's just absurd. But we as parents have this kind of second-party prestige when my son was a state champion. Well, what does that really mean? That there are about 8 people from around the state that entered and your son won. That makes them a state champion? You know, they're national tournaments for 8-year-olds, basketball. It's bizarre. We're national champions. It's one of the most bizarre things that we have. But what we've found is that as soon as adults can profit from children's sports, we have problems. And adults are profiting from children's sports, and we have problems.
But parents, it feels like you get swept along in a tidal wave, if you will, or whirlpool, because you feel like my son has an interest in playing hockey. We've got him all the stuff. And... okay, tournaments are on the weekend, and we used to go to church then, but, I mean, you got to travel. And if you're going to be good, and if you're going to be a player, and if you're going to get a scholarship.
I would not want to be a parent of youth today. It was tough enough when mine are 28, 27, 26. It was tough enough then. I have empathy for parents who are struggling to try and figure out how to do it right because of the lack of alternatives. The best place for kids to be are on the playground playing, but playgrounds are empty because kids are now either in organized practices or they're not there.
Playing computer games.
They may be, but you know, interesting, the computer games because no adults behind them yelling at them, no adults trying to instruct them. It's their own imagination and their own effort. It's the one place where we leave them alone. And the other place is skate parks. Kids are done, and you want to watch effort and attitude and effort at skate parks? Holy cow! They wipe out, get hurt. As soon as they can get back at it, they're right back at it again because they want to master something, and no adult is yelling at them when they make a mistake. Nobody's telling them what to do. It's their own imagination and their own effort. That's part of the problem of youth sports is when we put our adult imagination under our kids, we rob them of their own imaginations and efforts in the process. So that's youth sport that we have to be careful of. But I get it as parents. If I don't start now, my kid's going to be behind. And once we get on it, we go, wow, I'm spending so much time and energy and effort and money, but I got to keep going. What are my alternatives? That's part of the dilemma is I won't take kids out of a bad system until I got something else to put them in.
Let's go to Dean and Stanley on WWIB. Hi, Dean.
Hi, guys. Yeah, I got a 12-year-old son. And he feels like if he ain't part of the team, he felt left out. And I have a 23-year-old son who I used to wrestle. And we did it Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And if you don't, you're not going to compete.
I get that. And I think that's partly true, but not fully. What other kinds of things can we do that allow them to want to come back or to say, wow, I wish this wouldn't end. This is really fun. And now some kids survive that and actually thrive in it. It's kind of a social Darwinism and the strong rise to the top, and it's fun for them. And in one sense, that's okay. But if we look at wrestling, There's a reason why there are more kids engaged in youth wrestling in the USA wrestling system than ever before, and more forfeits in high school than ever before. The system is weeding out kids who would love to wrestle, but not the way we've got it set up. That's part of the USA Correct. Wrestling is recognizing that, and they're trying to address that from a whole systemic place.
Correct.
But you're right. If my friends are on the team, that's the number two reason why kids participate in sport, is my friends are there. The number one reason is it's fun. Now, if my friends start dropping out or if there's no fun, now I've got a dilemma. But if my 12-year-old thinks it's fun and their friends are there, that's a great environment. That's a good reason to do it.
But now they got practice two or three times during the week, and then the game's on Saturday, and if not Saturday, for baseball. When baseball gets done, it's football. Then when football's done, basketball starts regularly. As a parent, it's tough.
Oh, my goodness, it is. And I hate having to specialize too early. That's also one of the bad things, because that we start to see repetitive use injuries, burnout. All of that comes with early specialization and the robbing of joy of that. I think if we could eliminate we have what we call a peak by Friday mentality with our sports program. We got to get ready because we got a game on Friday. We got a game on Saturday. And much of the world that recognizes the full development has what's called a long-term athlete development thought process. We got a peak by Friday thought process in America, and that's harming our kids.
I agree. I mean, we don't even have time to go fishing or camping, and we're deciding what to do.
Yeah, and to think about that, we're trading a weekend fishing or camping for four games on Saturday that, if it's baseball, I probably swung the bat a total of 12 times in four games, and I fielded five balls. We're trading a family vacation or family outing for that kind of experience, and we've got to stop the competition. I don't mind. I wouldn't mind the practices as much if we just stopped competing so much, because it's just not healthy for families as
so
well.
So much so soon, and it feels like, Dean, the tail ends up wagging the dog. You know, you're like, wow, what did I sign up for, right? This is just...
Oh, I'm
sorry, what?
It's every parent. I mean, yeah. It's just not me. It's every parent. Oh. I mean, and they all talk about it. It's just run, run, run. And now, you know, you're traveling an hour one way, hour and a half one way to play two games.
Yep. And you could have got that just in your backyard if kids had just got together and had more
like
fun.
Like we did growing up.
Yeah, like we did growing up.
We're a slave to it.
We are. I get it. We've got to fix it. And we'll either fix it through wisdom or crisis.
Yeah. Mark Hull, thank you so much. We're so proud of you in terms of the call that you've got and are fulfilling in Africa, Asia, and off to Germany. When are you going?
We're going to Germany the end of May, and then Africa again with three coaches from Montclair, three soccer coaches. Kit Schiefelbein, Sean Yango, and David Ripplinger are going to join us as soccer coaches to go to...
Awesome.
Zambia in July.
That is awesome. Hey, yep. We wish you all the best. If people want to learn more about FCA and some of the upcoming camp opportunities, where can they go?
Give us an email, mhull@fca.org or adraper@fca.org, and that's the best way to get a hold of us.
Terrific. Mark, thank you so much.
Thanks for the opportunity.